Lord, give me one more, part three. So we're on week three of this, pitching this vision to all of us. And I want to similar to last Sunday, everybody, I want to take kind of the first half of this maybe and kind of continue working on the internal health of the church. Amen? As I said last Sunday, if 30 folks walk in next Sunday and they see turmoil and gossip and all this kind of stuff, they will walk right back out the door. Amen? So we need to be diligent to maintain our hearts and build the community, finish the wall that God has been building here for a long time. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start here and going to expound on this a little bit, and then we'll shift gears into another section about evangelizing. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. So we're going to read straight through into chapter 2, verse 3. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you've been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which is preached to you. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, everybody say therefore. Therefore. Oh. Therefore, because of everything we just said, putting aside all, let's say this together, church. All malice and how much deceit? All of that too. And hypocrisy and envy and how much slander though? Oh, all of that as well. Verse 2. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Can you back up to verse 2 there for me, Ruth? We're start here, and I want to show you something. I think that maybe we twist around a little bit in the church. Most of us probably are familiar with the scripture that talks about, you know, some of you ought to be teachers by now, but I've got to keep going over the basic principles of the faith. And another spot, Paul says, you know, you should be eating meat by now, but I still got to give you milk. Those are both kind of critical kind of statements from Paul. Can I get an amen? Right? You understand? Paul's like you should be more mature than you are by now. That is not what Peter's saying here. When Peter is saying to us, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, he's actually admonishing us to conduct ourselves in a certain kind of way. Think about this. How many of you have ever been a baby? All right. Just making sure you're awake. How many of you have had babies of your own? I mean, you know, guys, we haven't had our own, but you know what I mean. We've made babies. And think about this. I'm not talking about toddlers now. I'm talking about babies, right? He says like newborn babies. You know what newborn babies do not possess? Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, or slander. You know what a newborn baby is, church? Innocent. Well, I don't know. There's at some point in their young life, there's a switch that gets flipped, and you're like, when did a demon get on this thing? Anybody who's been through toddler years said, "Amen." Amen. Yeah, I remember our big girls when they were little. I mean, never ever went to daycare. They did not go to public schools. They did not go to, I mean, my wife and I, we're not perfect, but we pretty good. And I remember the first time they went at it, and I was like, where on earth did they see this behavior? Because they do not see it. And the Holy Spirit said to me, son, in iniquity You were formed, right? Your mother bore you in iniquity, right? God forms us in our mother's womb, but it's in iniquity that we're born, right? It was like, ding, the light bulb goes off. It's like, man, if you don't think that sin is real, watch a toddler. Or some adults. Just saying. Do you see this? Think about this. If Peter's saying something else here that I think is important as well. If we as believers choose to participate in these things, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander, we're actually stunting our ability to grow in the grace of God. Because you know what? God will not bless that garbage. Anybody ever had any malice in your heart towards somebody? Come on, you're in church, don't lie. For sure. Anybody ever been deceitful? Oh, yeah. How about slander? Yeah. Let me break this down a little bit for you. In 122, we back up a little bit. Peter's showing us something here. What part of our being gets us in trouble, church? Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your... Oh, not your spirit. Spirit's good. If you're born again, your spirit's all right. Can I get amen? Amen. Right? Because the Holy Spirit has joined himself with our spirit. That's how we cry out, Abba, Father. Right? If you're born again, your spirit, man, is perfectly good. You got the full holiness of God living inside of you. The job is now working that out through our soul. Prior to getting saved, church, think about this. Prior to getting saved, I've teached this a lot. Probably most of you heard this. Our soul is on the throne of our lives. Look at our culture. Oh, just do it. Makes you feel good. Just do it. Makes you happy. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. Oh, my goodness gracious. Follow your heart. Yikes. The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things, I'm pretty sure the Bible says. Anybody ever have the Holy Spirit show you dark stuff inside your heart? You're like, whose heart is that? Dude. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a, what's the next phrase, church? Sincere love of the brethren. See, my spirit man, wants to connect with other believers in real meaningful ways, life-changing ways. It's our soul that does not want to do that. Our soul is what wants to one-up other people. You ever talk to somebody, and no matter what your story is, they've got a better one? You just tell them something great that happened, and they're like, well, yeah, one time. You're just like, dude. At some point, you're like, you got to be lying. You cannot literally have a better story than mine every single time. I can't stand those folks. Well, no, because I used to be one. That was me, man. And it really took the Holy Spirit to be like, listen to somebody's story and just say, man, that is awesome. Praise God. And enjoy what God's done in their life. Amen? Amen. The word for love right here, church, sincere means unhypocritical. The word for love is Philadelphia in the Greek. Philadelphia, right? We got that, you know, that city down there in Pennsylvania, the city of brotherly love. Philadelphia means sincere. It's brotherly love. And so think about this. Agape is really... You can have agape love for somebody and have very little emotional involvement in that, right? Agape, I kind of define as saying, I want something good to happen to you, right? I want the best for your life. I can want the best for a lot of people and have very little emotional connection at all. But that's what Peter's talking about. Peter is talking about a brotherly kindness, a brotherly camaraderie, a brotherly connection, right? You know what Peter's talking about? He's talking about building relationships that are emotionally involved. And again, what stops us from doing that? Our soul. Because, as I said last Sunday, we're afraid of getting hurt. We're afraid of getting rejected. We're afraid of, what if you find out that what you see on Sunday is not real? Let me tell you the truth. I'll tell you a secret. Most of people you see on Sunday is not real. If you didn't know that, now you all know. Most of us come to church and it's like we're going on a first date. You know, we put our best foot forward. Is that all right, church? Come on, we're trying to get through that stuff and be like, let's just be real. Who really are you? One preacher said, God can't work with who you pretend to be on Sunday. Ouch. Verse 23, look what he says. Why is this possible? Well, why is this called? Because you've been born again. Because you've been born again, right? You see this, church. Born again, not from seed, which is perishable, but imperishable. You know what he's saying? He says, there's a new life inside of you that's not born of this seed, which is perishing. You're born again. You've got a new seed that comes in you that does not die. Your spirit man doesn't age. He doesn't die. He lives forever and ever and ever. Can I get amen, right? He's saying there's a new source of life inside of you. And if we continue to live from the old man, we will struggle. We live from the flesh. We're going to struggle with this stuff. We know what's going to happen. We're going to have malice and envy and slander and jealousy. All this stuff's going to rise up to the surface every once in a while because we're still living from this old nature. But Peter says, look, there's a new nature that's been put inside of you. Live from that nature and all this junk has to die. Is that all right? Here's these words. I'm gonna define these five words and we'll move on. Anybody mad yet? Praise God. Malice is this, church, desire to inflict harm, injury, or suffering on another person. I'm going to look right here the next 6 minutes straight. Malice is the desire to inflict harm, injury, or suffering on another person. Anybody ever say something to you and you want to say something snarky back? Malice. Snarky. Malice is sneaky. See, if we allow the Holy Spirit access, he will reveal to all in all the corners of our soul where malice likes to hide. You ever watch somebody and you're waiting for something bad to happen and you get like a weird satisfaction out of it? Or is that just me? Anybody ever drive crazy and you're like, and then the cop goes by and you're like, yes! Yes! As satisfying as that is, church, that's malice. Is that all right? Deceit, number two. Deceit in any form. See, I think we think about deceit as, I'm going to blatantly lie right to your face, right? But deceit is just me pretending that I'm something that I'm not. Right? Ouch. I think I said a few weeks ago, I remember I told one young person years ago in our church, I said, look, I don't lie. And they said, oh, okay, pastor, whatever. I said, I didn't say I never lied. I used to lie all the time. I was real good at it. Yeah? I said, I don't lie anymore. I'd rather just take my lumps and everybody knows I'm telling the truth, even if the truth is bad, even if it makes me look bad. I'd rather be honest and everybody knows I'm going to tell you the truth. Amen. Amen? Number three, hypocrisy. Here's hypocrisy, a pretense of having a virtuous character, moral or religious beliefs or principles, etc., that one does not really possess. I'm going to read that again. Here's the definition of hypocrisy. A pretense of having a virtuous character, moral or religious beliefs or principles, etc., that one does not actually possess. Here, if you don't understand what that means, hypocrisy, church, is not a lack of character. That's not what hypocrisy is. Hypocrisy is pretending that I don't have a lack of character when I actually do. It's like a kissing cousin to deceiving people, right? As we shift into evangelism, just a few moments here, look, the gospel, I'm saying this every week, the gospel is not about how good you are, it's about how good he is. Yeah? There's a clip I might show Friday night on Good Friday service. I was watching this preacher I used to listen to a long time ago, and he's just like coming on my Facebook feed the last week or so. But he's talking about the cross. And he says, when we get to heaven, and, you know, we're kind of making an account, why are we here, right? He says, if your answer starts with an I, you're already wrong. He says, if our answer starts in the first person, we're already wrong. When we stand before God, our answer, why we're there, needs to start in the third person. I'm here because he. Not because I believe this and I got baptized and I serve and I pastored and I did this. No. I'm here because of what he did. Yep. Right? That's powerful, man. Right? Church, let's just be honest. I'm sure every single person in this church has heard this. What is the number one complaint against Christians from the world? Hypocrisy, right? We get on our little high horse and like the world don't need that. The world don't need that. The world needs real people who are on a journey with Jesus and saying, look, I've overcome some stuff and I'm overcoming some stuff. Right? Join me on this journey. Can I get amen? Is that okay? Number four, envy. Ooh. A feeling of discontent or covetousness with regard to another's advantages, success, possessions, etc. I'll just leave that one there. Last one, slander. A malicious, false, or defamatory statement or report. The Greek word simply means evil speaking. So let's go back and read this statement from Peter one more time. So again, we're talking about the culture within River Valley, right? Therefore, chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, putting aside, church, please catch this, last thing, and then we'll move on. Catch this. Paul uses this same phrase in his writings. Putting aside, the Greek phrase means to take off like a coat. See, sometimes we get into these mindsets where we struggle with these kinds of thoughts and we're like, wow, I'm just angry and I'm this and that. But both Paul and Peter say, look, man, take it off like a coat. Just take that thing off. If you're born again, you can take this kind of behavior. You can just take it off and throw it in the recycle bin, man. Go drop it off at Goodwill down the street, man. Let somebody else wear that stuff. Can I get an amen? Right? Let's just pray real fast before we move on. Lord, we see this, God. And yet I think when we get into when we get home and we go to work and we deal with our kids and all this stuff, we're so easy. We fall into these types of mindsets and behaviors. And we just think, well, geez, but I'm just angry and I'm just this and this. But Lord, the scriptures say this stuff should not exist. So Holy Spirit, before we move on here, we just open our hearts right now. We've been singing all morning. We'll make room for you. Have your way, God. And Lord, the next time we want to say something sharp to somebody, the next time we feel envy rising up, or we want to talk about somebody, or we want to, Holy Spirit, we give you permission right now. Prick our hearts. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. All right. Leg number two. Get into some evangelism here. This is a good one. You guys are going to like it. You guys ready? I want to talk about another line from the movie clip we saw a couple weeks ago. And in this line, it's from the court scene. And it's when the general says to Doss, he says, "Son, if you want to run into the hellfire of battle without a single weapon to defend yourself, you have our permission to do that." You guys remember him saying that? Yeah. Yeah. Right? Because he won't use a weapon. His dad brings in the letter from the brigadier general saying he can do this if he wants to. And they're like, "You're nuts, bro." Right? "You are insane. You're going to run into this battle without a weapon. You've lost it." Right? But as I was watching that a few weeks ago, here's the scripture that came to my mind. 2 Corinthians 10. And I want to show you something here. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not..." Sounds like we're in a battle, church. "We do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses," right? Strongholds is some translations. Again, only time the stronghold shows up in the whole New Testament. It's right there. King James is stronghold. "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God." Pause right here. I've always thought of this as like I'm destroying my own strongholds. Right? Literally, I've always thought about this, but think about who's Paul talking to here. Is he talking to an individual person or is he talking to a church? What's that song we sing? You know, "There's power in the name of Jesus." Verse 2 is what? "There's an army rising up." There's an army rising up. An army rising up that can break every chain. Paul's talking to a church here, y'all. He's talking to a group of believers saying, "Look, you are all in a war, and your weapons of warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not human. They are divine. They're supernatural. And these part of what these weapons are designed to do is to take down strongholds, not just your own. I want to send you out into the world, and part of what I'm asking you to do is take down strongholds in other people's minds, take down strongholds and lies about God, lies about the church, lies about Christianity, lies and lies and lies." He says, "I'm equipping you to get in there and take some of these things down." You guys see this? Is that all right? Think about this, y'all. How many people are barely making it on the inside because they're wounded? Because they're wounded in their soul. Where do strongholds exist? In the soul. Right? We just talked about Peter telling us internally, get this soul thing straightened out. Right? Should we just crush our soul? No, but the Spirit of God should be in control of our soul, right? I should cry when I'm supposed to cry by the Holy Spirit. I should laugh when I'm supposed to laugh. Do you understand what I'm saying? When my emotions should be controlled by the Spirit of God. Amen? Now he's telling us to go out into the world and have the same effect. Think about this, church. Has anybody ever gotten hurt, like physically, like a serious injury, blown a knee out or back out or anything? Right, got one over here. Anybody? Think about it. A physical injury is fairly straightforward. You know, somebody shreds their knee, there's three ligaments that build your knee, right? Like the doctors cut it open and they're like, there's the ACL, PCL, MCL, that's it. There's some cartilage in there, but We know how to rebuild knees. They rebuild the knees on professional athletes left and right. You blow your back out. There's only so many pieces of your back that they're going to like, we need to straighten these discs out. We need to straighten this out. You know, somebody gets a big cut. You're like, you cover it up. And there's certain things that everybody's built basically the same way. Can I get amen? It's fairly straightforward. But dealing with someone who's got a wounded soul. Anybody ever deal with those people? Dude. Just when you think you're like, man, I think we got it. They go do something stupid, rip the wound right wide open again, and it's like right back to square one. Can I get amen? That's what I looked at last Sunday. Or 2 Sundays ago. Rebuke, reprove, and exhort with good teaching and great patience. Amen. When God sends each one of you your one for 2022, be patient with them. When they do something stupid, just say, okay, Lord, help me remember all the stupid stuff I did. And how patient you are with me. Amen? Matthew 10:16, look at this. I think this is going to tie together. It tied together in my mind anyway. Matthew 10:16, we're going to finish up right here this morning. Might be a little shorter than I've been, but that's all right. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be what, church? Shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. I think King James might say wise as serpents, right? Is that King James maybe? Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I think it's King James. Now, we're gonna dig probably more into this particular passage, not next Sunday, but we'll pick this back up probably the Sunday after resurrection. But I want to just tear this particular verse down just for a few moments here. Think about what Jesus is saying here. If you look at the context, this is him actually talking to his 12 disciples. That's specifically who he's talking to. And he's sending them out. And this is right in the middle of this commission from Jesus. And this is what he says, right? I'm sending out a sheep in the midst of wolves, so be shrewd as serpents, innocent as doves. In Luke's version of this account, Luke actually says that Jesus says lambs in the midst of wolves. I've been reading this for weeks, just grinding on it. And I don't know about you guys, but sending sheep into a bunch of wolves doesn't seem like a great idea to me. I miss everything about that. But here's the question that dawned on me this week. If, again, going back to like the soul-saving thing, right, or soul-saving church, not in the Bible anywhere. We're going to win souls for Jesus, not in the Bible anywhere. It's not in there. Winning a soul is a process, not an event. Can I get amen? Amen. Right? So if Jesus' goal is to simply win, he's doing it backwards. Right? If the goal is to win, why wouldn't he send us as wolves into a bunch of sheep? Have you ever seen wolves or sheep fight? But I'm pretty sure wolf's going to win every time. If the conduct that Jesus wants from us as his disciples going into a lost world is to simply win the fight, win the argument, you understand what I'm saying? The roles would be reversed. He'd say, I'm going to send you out as this aggressive predator, and you're just going to go get everybody and bring them back. Amen. Yeah? Here's some interesting things about sheep. Think about this. I was shocked. Remember, how many times have you guys heard me say sheep are dumb? Google it. They're not. I was like, oh, man, my bad. Listen to this. This is some things about sheep. A sheep is a meek animal. They're usually very quiet and gentle, holding themselves aloof from the world. Huh. In a herd, all the sheep tend to listen to their leaders and show esteem to them. And because of the obedient character of sheep, they are among the most popular animals beloved by mankind. I don't know if I've said this yet in this series, but I've been saying it for weeks to some other folks that we talk to on the side a little bit. I know I've said this before, but it really bears saying again. The only people, y'all, that did not like Jesus were religious people. Sinners flocked to Jesus. Now, he's given them free food, so that probably helped. So just carry some cheeseburgers around your pocket. You know, that'll help break the ice a little bit. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? My early years as a Christian, I never saw people wanting to be around us. And I'm talking way back, right? Way back, way before I was in this church. We had this, we tend to like, I'm going to dress a certain way and I'm going to talk a certain way and I'm going to, but I just heard this guy recently, he said that when Jesus, I haven't looked this up yet, but I'm going to find it, but he said that when they came to actually arrest Jesus, he blended in with the crowd so much that they had to pay Romans to show them who he was. They had to pay the Roman soldiers to show them who Jesus was. He blended in with the culture so much they didn't even know who he was. Isn't that crazy? Right? Sheep are among the most popular animals beloved by mankind. What I'm saying, church, is that I think we need to check ourselves and say, man, am I living a life that's attractive to people who don't know Jesus? Do people that, do sinners like being around me? Well, I knew it was going to get quiet. Here's the thing. I need to get my identity from God. You understand? If I'm trying to get sinners to like me so I feel better about myself, I'm in trouble. Right? What I want is to live a life that's attractive to sinners because I know who I am in Christ. You understand? I can love them without wanting anything from them. I don't need you to like me. I'm totally good. Yeah? We should be living lives that people like, man, there's, tell me. Now again, are they going to come to church next Sunday? I don't know. Maybe not. It's not the goal. The goal is not to win. The goal is to be in that hostile environment and not be intimidated by it. That's right. Amen? Number two, sheep. Sheep have been shown to display emotions, some of which can be studied by observing the position of their ears. Contrary to popular misconceptions, sheep are extremely intelligent animals capable of problem solving. My dad had a pig growing up, pet pig, lived inside the house. Missy's cousin has one now, pet pig. Pigs are actually really intelligent. Like you have to padlock your cabinets shut because they know how to open stuff. Like pigs are very, very smart. And this one article I was reading is suggesting that sheep, we typically think sheep are dumb, but these people are saying, no, they're very intelligent. And I just found it fascinating that they're capable of solving problems. Jesus is sending us out as sheep among wolves. Is he saying, look, you know what I want you to be? I want you to be intelligent. I want you to be a problem solver, not a problem maker. Come on, church, anybody been in the break room And they, you hear the conversations. Oh, man. Anybody ever got sucked into those conversations? I'm just going to look over here. You can come on Good Friday and get right with Jesus about that. Look, when we get into those conversations, when the guys are complaining about their spouses and their kids and stuff, we ought not be jumping in, oh, yeah, you know, my wife too, man, rah. My husband, rah. My kids, rah. You know how many millions of people would love a husband or a wife or children? You know what I used to do? I'd hear that kind of conversation. I'd say, man, my wife is awesome. And they'd be like, okay, man, whatever. And I'm like, no, for real. My wife's amazing. She's beautiful and kind. And they just look at you like, what, dude, what? But man, does it re-steer that conversation, man. It's the end. They don't know what to do. I don't know. Right? Does that make sense, church? Last thing about sheep. Sheep can self-medicate. Sheep can heal themselves. Wow. I'm setting you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. You know what? A wolf's going to nip you once in a while. But we can heal. Amen? I'm going to finish up with the second half of verse 16, right? I'm sending you out, Jesus says, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So, everybody say so. So, that's a Greek word, it's in there. Because of this statement, be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Here's shrewd. The word shrewd means practically wise, sensible, cunning, tricky, keen, or piercing. How many people think shrewd is a negative word? I do. Right? Cunning. You think about cunning. Someone who's cunning, that's not a good, you right? We suggest them as cunning. They're like, all right, this guy's trying to pull one over on me, right? But innocent, the Greek word simply means unmixed or pure. So Jesus is not saying, I'm sending out sheep among wolves and be shrewd. He's saying be shrewd and innocent. You see that, church? Shrewd and innocent. So in other words, think about this. He's saying that we need to be practically wise, right? Not. You ever hear the phrase kicking around church that this person's so heavenly minded that he's no earthly good? You ever meet those people that, you know, you're like, my car broke down, and they're like, well, I think that the Lord is trying to show you something, brother.
Oh my gosh,
dude. You're like, or my car broke down because it's a car and it breaks. Right? Like everything's spiritual. Probably not. Right? Maybe it is. All right, amen. But you know what I'm saying, church? Everything is not like, oh, there's an angel. Here's one of my things. People see feathers on their bed. An angel was here. Or a feather came out of your blanket. Can I get amen? Angels in the Bible, y'all, they're like massive, powerful beings, not the little things that hang off your rearview mirror, right? If like you saw an angel, you'd hide under a chair and be like, please don't kill me, right? Every time an angel shows up in the Bible, please don't kill me, yeah? I don't know. Probably angels don't shed their feathers either. I'm just saying. They're probably locked in there pretty good. Is that all right? Let's wrap this up. Three animals that Jesus mentions in this one verse. Sheep, serpents, doves. Sheep, church, think about this. Going out into a hostile environment. God is saying to us, I want you to be harmless. I want you to be gentle. I want you to be intelligent. Right? What is a sheep? It's got to be the least intimidating animal. Least right up there, top five, least intimidating animals on the planet. Sheep, harmless, gentle, intelligent. But then he says, I want you to be like a serpent, keen, piercing, sensible, and practically wise. There's some people right in our church who have gotten their feet in doors and companies and with less education than other people, and they just pray, and God has given them tremendous wisdom to be promoted within their companies, right? Practical wisdom. Can I get an amen, church? Right? Think about how many times Jesus answered, talking about a serpent here, right? Being shrewd and cunning, right? Piercing. Think about how many conversations Jesus had in the Bible where they were coming at him and he gave one answer back and shut the whole thing down. They were just like, what did he just say? Right? Come on. Anybody ever been in a conversation where you give one word and the whole thing just boom? It's nobody's mad. They just don't know what to say now. Yeah? Number three, doves. Innocent, pure, and unmixed. Amen? Let's stand up. Matthew 10, 17 through 20. Here's why we need to be this way. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and harmless or innocent as doves. Now look what he says. But beware of men. For they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you'll even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, everybody say this together, church. Do not worry about what you are to say. For it will be given you in that hour what you are to say. Four, everybody say four. It is not you who speak, but it's the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Amen. Last thought here. And again, we may hit this a little bit deeper in a couple of weeks, but right in this same section of scripture, Jesus sends them out. And he says, when you go out, don't take money, don't take a suitcase, don't take an extra staff, don't take an extra jacket, don't take extra shoes, just go. And then we see this thing about sheep in the midst of wolves and all this stuff. You're just like, man, this makes no sense at all. Who would go on a journey and take nothing? And as I was pondering it, I feel that the Spirit of God said this to me. He said, son, I need you to prepare for the mission I have for you. I don't need you to prepare the way you think you should prepare. See, we want to prepare all this stuff for our flesh. What am I going to eat? He's like, don't worry about it. How am I going to buy stuff? Don't worry about that either. He says, what I need you to prepare is here. I need you to prepare your heart. I need your heart to be soft. So that when you go to that place that's hostile and they're trying to attack you, he says, you're going to hear straight from the throne of God what to say right there. Because it's not my wisdom he needs. It's the voice of the Father. Amen? Amen. So Lord, we just come this morning. And Lord, help us to understand that we are being sent into hostile territory, God. That is part of the deal. Yeah. We are getting sent into darkness, God, but we are light. So when light goes into darkness, darkness flees. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray for every one of us, God, that feels that intimidation. I used to struggle with that for years, church. We feel intimidated. We feel nervous. We feel, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to say. Lord, we lay that all at your feet right now. And Lord, help us to understand in our spirit, man, God, that we have got the best news anybody has ever heard. We have the answer, God. We have, not arrogantly, but God, we have hope living inside of us. We have peace living inside of us, Father. We have righteousness living inside of us. And Lord, that when we go out, Lord God, we will not go out there and be aggressive and be all these things, Lord, but like you said, Lord Jesus, we will go out as sheep. not trusting in our own ability to defend ourselves, our own ability to fight the battles, but trusting that you will fight for us. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. Blessings on you guys. Have a good week. Facebook and YouTube. Amen. Have a good week. If you need prayer, please come on up. We'll be here to pray with you. In Jesus' name. Blessings. Good Friday. 2 o'clock, the church will be open. Service at 6. Sure.
Hang on a second, church. So the reason why I felt so impressed upon me to do something special for Good Friday is because it truly, truly is a very remarkable day. If you consider who Jesus was, the reason why we have our faith is because of Good Friday. Buddha did not die for his people. Muhammad did not die for his people and rise again. This was told in the scriptures that it would happen. His birth was told before it ever happened. All of this was prophesied. He died for me. He died for you. He died for all of us. This is a day we get off from work. It's supposed to be a time to remember, to think about what God did for us as a person. The sacrifice he made because he loved us so dearly. So I invite you to Good Friday service to prepare your heart to think about what our God did just for me and just for you. Prepare your hearts this week. This is a remarkable day. Remarkable day. Amen. You can't resurrect something that's not dead. He died for us to come back to life so that we could have a hope in him. It's a remarkable day. Come join us.
Amen. Thank you, church. Blessings. Have a good week. See you guys Wednesday for prayer, 7 o'clock. Amen.